morning.
Did I turn that on?
Yes, I did.
Okay, we've been looking at the second chapter of 1 Samuel, and we've looked through to this chapter to verse 17 in our previous studies, and this morning we'll pick up at verse 18, but before we do that, I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew 16. As you're doing that, I'll just bring a quick recap of what we've studied so far. We spent the first lesson looking at the sovereignty of God and how He works everything out, how He has worked everything out from creation till this very moment to call His people out of darkness, to ensure that every seat is filled in heaven that He has. Every child of God will be called. All that the Father giveth him shall come to him. And then we went about looking at the blessings and the others. For instance, the two sons of Eli and how they have become wicked and apostate and snuck into the church. And then the blessings of Hannah receiving a child, and especially when she was barren for so long, and how she had to go through so many trials before that. So this morning, I'd like to begin here in Matthew chapter 16, reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he, speaking of Christ, saith unto them, "But whom say ye? Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, speaking of the rock, the Son of the living God, not Peter, as the Catholics have put it, but of Jesus, being God Almighty in the flesh, upon that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our Savior has not abandoned His people. It can be hard to see that at times, especially when we look out and see the expansion of the so-called Christian religion in the world today. We go by on the freeway. I noticed in Stockton, California, between Stockton and Lodi, which isn't very far on the freeway, you'll pass three mega churches. I mean, huge parking lots, five times bigger than this entire property that we have right here. Parking lots. I've shared with you before, but Kathy and I went to a service one time. We were kind of snookered into it at the last minute, and just for the sake of argument, I went on ahead and went. And it didn't let me down at all. I got exactly what I was expecting. Large screen TVs, Starbucks by the door, you know, all the fanciness, busloads coming in for the services and stuff. As we see those kind of things, we wonder, has the Lord abandoned us? No, not at all. God said, "I will never leave you." That's God's word. There's no misinterpretation. There's no way to interpret that differently. Is there, Pastor?
Yes.
No. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The church, the called out, the people of God will prevail. That's His word right there. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Who can turn the hand of our God? I can remember before our Savior brought Mike Smith and his family here, discussions of what does our Lord have planned for us here at this little church in Rescue. Our numbers are small. At that time, there were times when we looked around and we were all gaining in years. There were no young that we had sitting with us, as we do today. As we do with my wife, who is in teaching this morning. Garrett, Hannah, Trevor, the Leshers. Our Lord's blessing us greatly now. Remember those days, those of us who were here before, wondering, what does our Lord have in store for us? Look back at verse 8 of Matthew there for just a moment, Matthew 16. When Jesus perceived what they were talking about, he said to them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? They were afraid that the Lord was talking to them, that they had forgotten bread. And then what did he say? Do you not understand, neither remember the first loaves of the first 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Do we not remember how often our Lord has provided for us? How often he has given us what we need? Pastor Gene has shared with us many times. Coming into a conference, our budget is small and we're concerned, is the word, about how we're going to cover the expenses. And how often, Pastor? How often has our Lord provided what we needed for that?
Every time.
Every time. Oh, how easy it is for us to forget these things. Sometimes we forget even before it happens. God will provide all that we need. The God-man, Jesus Christ, rules, or he is not God at all. And I'll tell you here, the fact that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh is a solid, solid rock. And we can rest assured on that rock. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And if he who created all things has set his love upon you, then he did it before the world began, and all that is, everything, from the time, beginning of time till this very present moment until on before forevermore. All that is for your good. Everything that has been, everything that is, and everything that will be is for the good to those who love him, those he has called, those who were given to him before the world was formed. He spared not his only begotten Son. How shall he not freely give us all things? So as we continue and go on through these next verses in 1 Samuel, let us consider two major points. First one, Christ is the one who is building his church. And we just read, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And the second one I want to bring out, sin does not go unpunished. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Interesting here, even a child may be used by our Lord to serve his purposes. Here we see a child dressed in the clothes that were reserved for priests. Consider for just a moment the situation here. The two sons of Eli were obviously taking great advantage of their position. Look back at verse 17 there for just a moment, and we can read, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. We see how the people hated the offering of the Lord because of the way these two men used their positions to satisfy their own lust. How many times have we seen those who claim to be men of God use their position to prosper their own desires? We see it all over the world. Some of us have seen it personally. Yet this woman, Hannah, left her child with the man who raised those two men. I can't help but wonder if they were not taught the things of God. I can't help but wonder if they had not heard the truths of God with ears, but not with the heart, obviously. I don't know about you folks, but I could not have imagined myself doing that, which Hannah did. Yet she must have had God-given faith to do such a thing. As we know our Lord is sovereign over all things, so she must have known also. This is faith. This is God-given faith. Only a faith that comes from our Creator could move a mother to do that. We know she loved her child, for next we read in verse 19, "Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer a yearly sacrifice." She must have cared for the child still, greatly. Looking forward to that moment every year when she was able to come and see how much more he had grown, not only in body, but in spirit. As we'll read here in a moment, he became known spiritually to many around him also, not just to the Lord, but to him also. The Lord was using him in many ways, and people saw it. In verse 20 and 21, we see the blessings that come with doing things God's way. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went to their own home, speaking of Elkanah and Hannah. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child, Samuel, grew before the Lord. Our Savior builds his church one saint at a time, and all the stones fit as they should. Just look at what he's done with us here in Rescue. Here in this little church, the gospel is preached. The gospel is preached in this little place in the hills. God's elect have been called out here. The praise and glory of Christ Jesus is heralded here, and we are honored by our Lord to do his good work. God's people have been provided a place to freely worship him here in this place. Oh, how often I've heard Pastor Gene say it is his honor. When speaking to him about honoring him and Judy for all their years of service, he says to me, "It is my honor." He has had the honor to stand before God's people and preach the word. Oh, how our Lord has blessed us with many blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. This little remnant here in Rescue has been blessed with all spiritual blessings in our Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. Because of his blood that was shed upon the tree, we have been blessed with a perfect righteousness, perfect in him. We are blessed by his substitutionary death, he being made a curse for us. We are blessed by his priestly position, making intercession for us before the throne that he himself sits upon. The Lord Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, and praise him for his mercy upon us. For God's mercy is not on everyone. Remember our second point. The second point, which is, sin does not go unpunished. 1 Samuel 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all of Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress." Robert Hawker points out something here. the slackness of Eli? Where is the prayer? Where is the prayer that Eli would give for his son's transgressions? Man can't deal with these things alone. We must lift up our loved ones to the one who deals with hearts. Only the Spirit can move the heart to follow Him. Rebuking someone is a must. Absolutely. Rebuking his sons was a must. He had to. It was obvious. Everybody saw what was going on. But when it comes to dealing with the hearts, where's the prayers for those that we love so much? Where was his prayer for his sons to the only one who could change their hearts? In verse 25, we continue reading, "If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened," speaking of the sons, "not. They hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child, Samuel, grew on and was in favor both of the Lord and also with men." We see the Lord continues to build his church. Verse 27, "And there came a man of God to Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear to the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honoreth me I will honor, and they that despise me shall I lightly esteem. Verse 31, because behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall be an old man and there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. The man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and on Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices that I may eat a piece of bread." What a terrible sight. What a terrible scene we see before us of what sin can do to mankind. Folks, there is a terrible price to pay for sin. Sin does not go unpunished. You will either stand before God in that day of judgment, claiming your good works and hearing these words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Punishment will be an eternity for all who trust in self. But for those who trust in Christ, those who were given the gift of faith, those who stand in His righteousness and His righteousness alone, those who love Him who first loved them, those for whom He laid down His life and shed His own blood for, those for whom the Father hath given Him, those who are called His elect, those who have been loved of God before the world was, those for whom He intercedes right now, sitting on His throne in heaven, their sin debt has been paid.
Amen.
To the uttermost. All of our sins. And for those that our sins have been paid by our substitute, we will be ushered into heaven to be forever in the presence of the Lord. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. I didn't think of this until the last moment. It was brought up in the men's meeting. Daryl read these very words. And I'll close with this. The last two words of verse 4, in love. In love, having predestinated us, predetermined, set in stone before anything else was. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He's building His church. And every single one that He has loved from the beginning of time has to come into the church, the called out. Not one can be lost, or he is not God. According to the good pleasure of His will, not because of anything that we have done, but the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Sin must be punished. It cannot go unpunished. The debt must be paid. And if you're in Christ, it's paid. Pastor.